Welcome to World Anti-Extremism Network's scholarly podcast on ideas for countering extremism and authoritarianism. In this episode, we will explore insights on extremist and radical groups in Afghanistan and the surrounding region. I'm Ahrar Ramispour, a former lecturer at Kabul University and president of World Anti-Extremism Network, an organization based in Toronto, Canada. Joining me today is Mr. Imtiaz Ahmad Baluch. Mr. Imtiaz Ahmad Baluch is an Islamic-based journalist and researcher specializing in security in conflict in Iran and Pakistan, a graduate of the National University of Modern Languages, NUML, in Islamabad. Imtiaz contributes to the Khorasan Diary. His work covers a range of critical topics, including social issues, economic developments, and also political dynamics, climate change impacts, and human rights. Welcome, Mr. Baluch. In this discussion, we will delve into the extremist and radical groups in Afghanistan and its neighboring regions. These groups have evolved since the 1980s through military activities and mobilization of Islamic jihadists from around the world. Key groups include Afghan jihadist factions, the Afghan Taliban, radical religious groups, Al-Qaeda, ISIS or Daesh, Hizbut Tahrir, Tahrik-e-Taliban Pakistan, Hizbul Mujahideen, Jaish-e-Muhammad, Lashkar-e-Tayyiba, and others. The origins of Afghan jihadist parties can be traced back to the uprising of Afghan Islamist leaders in the 1980s. Influenced by the Soviet Union's occupation of Afghanistan in 1979. The influx of foreign jihadists and the proliferation of religious madrasas in Pakistan further fueled the spread of radicalism and violent extremism in the region. Many scholars view the current hostile situation as a legacy of the Cold War era, while some others see these extremist groups as tools for proxy war of regional and global powers. However, the reality is that on 15 August 2021, the Afghan Taliban took power once again in Afghanistan, that welcomed by all and by entire Islamic radical movements worldwide. Reports indicate close collaboration between the Taliban and other extremist groups like Al-Qaeda, Central Asian Islamic groups, Tahrik-e-Taliban in Pakistan, and others in the region. I would like to start with the question, what are the roots and historical background of the emergence and growth of radical religious groups in the region? Mr. Baluch, please.
Thank you, Mr. Ramzipur. The historical roots, as you said, that it goes back to the invasion of Afghanistan and a regional bloc politics by the US and Russia that closely affected our region, mostly by Islamic radicalization and overall our society has been affected somehow, some in many ways. But the trace when we go back to the Soviet Union and the invasion of Afghanistan, there are many things and many developments have been reported at that time, particularly the U.S. interest in the region and stopping a further invasion of communism in the whole region, particularly regions like Balochistan, who have also witnessed a communist government at that time, a provisional government led by National Awami Party, a nationalist party in the Pakistan, who at that time were ruling the province after the fall of Dhaka. So at that time, a sense of communism, sense of socialism has been emerged in this region. So for that, to countering the anti-communist sentiments, US blocs, Saudi, and many other European countries backed Pakistani authorities to counter these growing sentiments and further invasion and further expansion of the Soviet Union in the region. So madrasas like Akani, Akoda Khadak Akani, and Jame Banuria, and similarly the Aliyatis madars, particularly Salfi madars in the Pakistan, have played a vital role to expand these extremism ideologies in the region, particularly in our region. As I discussed in a research paper for the World Anti-Extremism Network, that the secular bloc in the Sistan, Baluchistan have been converted by these propaganda literature produced in the Pakistani madrasas just to play our block politics by the US and the other forces in the region. So these madrasas feed young recruitments and provide them safe shelters. As per to the economic lines, our regions have been suffered from economic exploitations by the British rulers. So there were a sense of poorness, and these madrasas provide them self shelters, foods, and other necessary things that need for a growth of youth. And they also provide them some particular education. So result was that they were not technical, they were not skillful. So the only way for them to separate and spread what they learn from these madrasas into the other areas. So how this network separate all of these regions, and it affected our regions too.
Yes, Mr. Baluch, thank you for your points. Indeed, these madrasas, which established during that time, played a very significant role for radicalization of communities. Communities who were living between the borders between Pakistan and Afghanistan, and also communities in other parts of the region. And finally, for a while, after the collapse of the communist regime in Afghanistan, that the regime was somehow forgotten by the Western supporters and by the Islamic countries like Saudi Arabia and others who were supporting during that conflict. The Afghan Mujahideen. In that period, it caused for civil war in Afghanistan. For 5 years, 1991, 1996, it was a very tough time in Afghanistan. Thousands of people, they have lost their life. There was internal conflict between different Mujahideen groups. And then the time came for the emergence of the Taliban. And the Taliban movement somehow, they very quickly started their operations and conquered the entire territory, and they wanted to bring peace and stability in Afghanistan. But unfortunately, at that time, once again, those Arab fighters, including their leader Osama bin Laden and others, they joined Taliban, and they used Afghanistan soil as a territory, as a safe haven for their activities. And finally, 9/11 happened, and the world started taking action against these radical groups. But what happened next? As we see today, after the 3 years of taking power by the Taliban for the second time, how you see re-deployment or re-establishment of these radical groups in the region, particularly from your perspective as a journalist and as a political analyst in that in the region?
After the takeover of Taliban back in at the end of 90s, some many development have been occurred in the region, particularly a US targeted Al-Qaeda have targeted many US embassies in the region, in the world, and similarly it's also targeted the World Trade Center in September 11. So these things change all the narrative of the world about the extremism, about the fundamentalism, about the religious terrorism in the all across the world, and particularly our region. But within the time that after the US invasion in Afghanistan, many things started changing, particularly the Afghan societies, which somehow were already affected, were already suffering from bloodbath. So this process have re-emerged in the region, and the Taliban forces presence in the Afghanistan. So they try to move along with the Arab fighters and the other Central Asian fighters to the Pakistans for the safe shelters provided them by the authorities, backed by the authorities and the other tribal in the Waziristan and Fata side. After that, similarly, the Al-Qaeda visions and the propaganda and is financing the other groups, the tribal men in the area, have somehow provoked already these sentiments that were existing within the people. So the Al-Qaeda exploited these sentiments and used them for their own purpose. For example, the Al-Qaeda with the Lashkar-e-Tayyiba and other Islamic fundamentalist organization operating in Kashmir, they have supported them to carry out attacks in the Indian side, particularly the attacks in the targeting parliament in the start of the this century. So after that, things were getting changed with the Pakistan and the other countries. So the US have provoked Pakistan to stop being part of the game and support either us or not. I am going to the back that after the 9/11 attacks, when the US clearly told Pakistan to be with us or to be with the enemies. So the Pakistani dictator Parvez Musharraf chose to be side with the US and but backed Afghan Taliban in the region for their own purposes, that he was somehow secured of the Islamic groups present in the Pakistan, particularly Jamaat-e-Islami and Jamiat-ul-Ulama-e-Islam, Fazlur Rahman group. They were considered to be anti-American and anti-American imperialist. So they were all against the American presence in the region. And the other political parties, for example, Tehreek-e-Insaf Pakistan, it's a major political party in Pakistan. It's also criticized the US drone attacks in our region, and it's also carried some protests against these things. So the things back to the start of the second emergence of the Taliban in the region have slightly changed the things and provide a space to the Al-Qaeda to carry out attacks in the other regions and create trouble in the Pakistan as well. But at the same time, the Pakistani authorities also supported the Afghan Taliban and the other Islamic groups, and they provided them safe shelters and other necessary things that they needed to operate in the Afghanistan and to carry out attacks in the Afghan soil, just for their own deep strategic gain in the region.
Thank you, Mr. Baluji. As indeed the Pakistani authorities and the Pakistani government, or maybe special agencies, they supported Taliban. But the aftermath of the victory of Taliban right now, it is negatively impacted communities and people inside Pakistan. We have been witnessing increasing attacks by Tehreek-e-Taliban in Pakistan, who were somehow allegedly receiving supports by Afghan Taliban. Since the Afghan Taliban and Tehreek-e-Taliban in Pakistan, they are somehow similar group. They are studied, they are educated in madrasas, in religious madrasas, and they have their friendly relation. And nowadays, people in Pakistan are suffering due to these attacks against military groups in Pakistan, against a civilian in Pakistan. And how you assess the current situation? How you see the impact of the victory of Taliban in Afghanistan in civilians' life, democracy, civil rights, human rights, and political rights inside Pakistan?
Thank you for asking this. After the August 21, Pakistani authorities, especially the then defense minister Khwaja Asif, at the floor of the house celebrated this, and that said that Afghanistan win its victory and ends occupied. But within the time that we have witnessed that things were got changed, and these organizations who were considered to be backed by the other agencies, illegally by other agencies in Afghanistan. These started attacking Pakistan with the, in a more violent way and in a more strategically to target Pakistani economy, Pakistani society, and the other economical interest in the region. Particularly, many attacks were carried by the these groups, particularly Taliban and Baloch militants group operating in the region, targeted China-Pakistan economic corridor. So this is how the Pakistani economy has been affected. But at the same time, due to the participating in these war, due to playing a double role in all of these, Pakistani society have witnessed a more radicalized, more fundamentalist, more religious sentiments in the society that's affected this society in a very bad way. For example, the blasphemy laws and the other colonial laws have affected the all the civil rights in the Pakistan and the entire region, just because that Pakistan have played a role by separating the Wahhabism, by separating these radical Islam just for their own safety and for the some we can say that for the money, because Pakistan have received millions of dollars just to be part of the non-NATO alliance in the region of the US. So this is how Pakistani economy have also been affected, and similarly its civilian have suffered a lot of casualties. More than 80,000 casualties have been reported due to all of these wars and the religious fundamentalism in the region. It also affected the border trades and the diplomatic ties with the other countries in the region. For example, Pakistani authorities often blame Indian for backing Baloch separatist groups in the region by using the Afghan soil. So this is how the things got wrong when the Pakistan played a role in all of these war by playing a political role in this region. The Pakistani role in this region was not development purpose, for the people-to-people engagement, for economical opportunities. The Pakistani role in this region was considered to be a home of these fundamentalist groups which created terrorists, not opportunities for the other neighboring countries in the hostile situation.
Yes, indeed. Unfortunately, this radicalization of the region in presence of these radical groups and extremist groups, it's a big threat. It's a big challenge for democratic society at all. Pakistan was somehow a democratic society. There was at least election, there was parliament, there was a legislative-making body, and there was free movement of women and free opportunities for women. But right now, these radical groups, they are becoming a very challenging entity to the society. If they succeed, God forbid, and if they succeed to take power in any part of the country, or they want to impose the same restriction as right now imposed by Taliban in Afghanistan, it's a big threat. Let's come back to the one of the very famous and very radical group that appeared in recent years, which is Daesh or Daesh Khorasan. How you assess the presence of Daesh in Pakistan, and also the relation between ISIS and other radical groups inside Pakistan? Do they have any moral supporters or political supporters inside Pakistan? Because they also want to expand their territory, their operations in the region.
As we said, that Pakistan played a role by promoting these religious extremism in the region. Similarly, Pakistani Taliban have sent a lot of their fighters to the Syria and other regions where the many countries, particularly Iran and Syria, were engaged. But after the coming from that region, particularly Fatmun, Zainabun, and Sapai Sabai Mohammadi, these are the groups based in Pakistan, but their fighters were went to these regions just to fight the wars, others' war. So after coming from back to their homes, especially in the in north and south Waziristan, so they have grown the ideas of Salafis and the extremism, and they borrowed these ideas in a more extremist and more lethal way. For example, Saeed Orakzi, the IS commander in the Orakzi region, Orakzi's Bajout region. So these groups slowly started their preachings, and they were trying to the other dissent Taliban fighter, and by the more violent way, they tried to attract more recruitment in the region. After that, the Lashkar-e-Jangvi offshoot in the Pakistan targeting the Shia community, particularly in the Balochistan region. So Lashkar-e-Jangvi have also pledged its allegiance to the Caliphate. But the things were got changed when a backlash were faced by the both Afghan and Pakistani authorities. But the roots cause of these groups still exist, and its effect, particularly right now, it's affecting in a more lethal way. It's operating in Afghanistan, and its presence have been witnessed in the Pakistani region and the Afghan regions too. But the thing is, more important thing is that the Afghan Taliban are carrying successful operation against the Daesh Khorasan and engaging them affecting them to carry out attacks, large-scale attacks in its own Afghan country, and affecting the society. But as per to their line of Wahhabism and Salafism, they are trying to engage the youth via social media and the other latest invention, and by the more violent tactics to gain more recruitments, and they are trying to a new birth in the region, particularly in the Afghanistan. But right now, the Afghan authorities are effectively engaging them in the Afghanistan. Similarly, in the Pakistan, their existence is often has been denied. They are earlier faced by the Pakistani authorities that the IS is not present. But we have witnessed that IS carried out very lethal attacks, particularly in the Balochistan region, killing hundreds of our lawyers and civilians just for the purposeful reasons. So this is how they create a violence to gain more recruitment and to gain more legitimacy and to pressurize the authorities in the region.
Indeed, they want to terrorize the society, and to by this way, they want to reach to their own agenda. It's a very tough situation right now, as I see. Mr. Imtiaz, as you know, the Pakistan government wants to have a good relation with the Central Asian countries. And Afghanistan can play a very crucial role in this regard, because Afghanistan geographically located in a location like a bridge between the South Asia and Central Asia. And there is economic demand in Pakistan for markets in Central Asia. Supporting any extremist group who are somehow have their own agenda against the Central Asian states, and these groups already exist inside Afghanistan and receiving support by Taliban, it's a concerning point for the regional countries, particularly to the Central Asian countries. How you assess this issue from your perspective as a person who knows better the local areas and the local groups?
Particularly the Afghan Taliban, the Khyber Pakhtunkhwa and part of Balochistan. Right now, it's creating a big challenges for the Pakistani security and Pakistani economy, especially after its blocking highways and carrying out attacks Chinese interests. But they have not claimed that they carried out suicidal attacks in the Shangla against the Chinese interest. But report also suggests that they were being backed by the Afghan Taliban, and they were operating in the Afghani region, particularly close to the Fatah, for example, Paktia and other provinces in that region. So Pakistani authorities often blamed Afghan Taliban for harboring Pakistani Taliban. But in here, Dihar also lost many opportunities to engaging them. After the takeover of the Afghan Taliban, a negotiation process has been started between Pakistan and Iran. But with the unknown circumstances, it was aimed at the Pakistani authorities announced that they were going to counter this terrorism by force. But they were also forgetting that during the American war in the Afghanistan, Pakistani Taliban strongly backed them. They provided them shelter, they provided them food, they provided them resources, they provided them space in the Fatah and the other regions. And so it's considered to be Afghan value that they cannot allow the Pakistani authorities to carry out attacks against its Afghan soil and to eliminate these extremist groups. Just for that, due to the Pashtun Wali and the other code that exists in our region. So right now, the diplomatic situation between Pakistan and Afghanistan are hostile, and both countries are trying to sort out these things. But the Pakistani are continuously saying that they are not going to engage with any extremist group, particularly with the Taliban and the Baloch militant groups in the region also. So these organizations are now increasing their capabilities with the more sophisticated attacks, with the more strategic targets. And they are trying to disrupt the Pakistani economy, Pakistani security situation. Right now, the main topic in the country is also the security situation due to the lethal attacks carried by the Baloch, a separatist group in the Balochistan region. So the Balochistan, as I said, the main target of these terrorist organizations are considered to be the economy, are already fragile economy of Pakistan. So right now, these militant organizations thinking that it's the right time to push back Pakistan and its economy, to manage to damage Pakistan's economy by engaging its in already troubled regions. For example, Baloch insurgents groups are pretty often target Chinese economic interests in the Pakistan, attacking their engineer, attacking the other important installations, attacking Gwadar Port Authority in the Gwadar, and blocking the major highways in the region. Similarly, with the Taliban, Talibans are also carrying out attacks against the economical opportunities. For example, blocking the roads and disrupting the other main areas and the mineral-rich areas that were considered to be the hub in the mineral sector. China is also investing. It's the Gwadar Port. China is also investing. So they are disrupting these connectivity routes and energy sectors and mineral sectors. And as you all said, that the Central Asian countries, there is a market for the Pakistan, but these problems are creating trouble for both countries. So Pakistan is often, due to a hostile security situation, blocked economical connectivity with the Afghanistan. After blocking Torkham border, Afghan friendship gate at the Chaman. The Afghan friendship gate at the Chaman have been blocked for the month. Just for the Pakistan is a one policy regime. The Pakistani authorities wanted that anyone who is trying to go for the economic purpose, for any purpose, it is compulsory for them to hold passports to engage in these kind of things. So this is how they are creating trouble for the already fragile economy of Pakistan in the region.
Yeah, and it's a concerning issue for Afghanistan and Pakistan too, because people need peace, people need stability, people need economic growth. In all these things like economy, civil rights, human rights, women rights, all of them somehow impacted by these radical groups and extremist groups in our region. As conclusion, Mr. Imtiaz, if you could please collaborate a little bit about the possible impact of these radical groups if they continue their operations, if they continue their activities in our region, in global peace and stability, from your opinion. We want to hear that, how you see, if we'll not cause again like 9/11 again, because there are some political analysts, they are saying that it's possible again, if these radical groups stay like this, they will create another threat for the globe in future. If you make some contribution. Thanks.
Yes, similarly, we have saw that many experts are showing concerns about the Daesh Khorasan, that they might carry out attacks against the European and the other countries in the upcoming future. Daesh Khorasan recently also carried out in attacks in the Russian countries and in Iran too. And now they are trying to recruit from the other part of the world, particularly in Europe. They are trying to engage self-radicalized person to carry out knife attacks and destructive attacks and the other tactic they were carried out in the past. But as per to the other groups, we have witnessed that a rise of Baloch insurgency in the region, particularly in Iran and Pakistan too. Just in the last week, Baloch Liberation Army carried out a large attacks by blocking all the major highways which connect Afghanistan and Iran too. Through its militants and crippling all the economical resources and targeting railways tracks, targeting roads, targeting gas pipelines, targeting police lines and the other institutions of Pakistan. So with the upcoming time, it's can be predict that the Baloch insurgent in the regions also trying to increase their capability of attacks. Particularly, the trend has been witnessed within the Baloch insurgent groups that female suicide attackers are also carrying out attacks. In the previous, we have witnessed that these women, particularly in the April 2022, the woman exploded himself and killing three Chinese teachers at the Karachi University. And after that, another woman in June 2023 also carried out an individual suicide attack in the Kutch region of Balochistan. But now, in the last week, a woman exploded himself at the gate of a main security headquarters in a Bela. Bela is considered to be a industrial zone of the Balochistan, and it is connected to the port city, largest port city of Pakistan. So, a new trend has been witnessed within the Baloch society and these militants groups too, that the women are now trying to be at the front of the terrorist attacks or the separatists by the separatists. So, and their particular aim at that time is to target the Chinese interest and the other interests in the region. They are trying to target the China-Pakistan economic corridor many times, and now they are also carrying out attacks at the mineral-rich areas and trying to sabotage these projects. Particularly, the Sandak projects have also been targeted in the past by the Baloch insurgents. So, similarly with the Taliban are also trying to engage the Pakhtun society by avoiding attacks against civilians just to create a more welcoming and more recruitment phase for a larger scale of war. So going to the Iran, that Jaish ul-Adl also carrying out suffocated attacks against the Iranian interest, particularly at the April 2024, Jaish ul-Adl carried out at least 6 simultaneous attacks at the Chabahar. Chabahar is considered to be a sister port to the Gwadar. In the Chabahar, India, Russia, and other central Asian countries, particularly Afghanistan, are also investing at the Chabahar coast. But the Jaish ul-Adl carried out, trying to carry out major attacks against these projects and claiming that it's a project for the Persian regime, for the Persian Shia regime, not for the inhabitant local Baloch. So these organizations are mainly targeting the international projects and carrying out some attacks against the civilian just for the media attention and to engaging the attention of the media toward them. And it's also trying to propagate them through the secondary sources by force influencing them, the other experts, to think about that why they had carried out attacks against the civilian. So the latest trend has been witnessed in Balochistan too, that the Baloch separatist groups are carrying out attacks, some of the non-local and particularly Punjabis, by saying that they allegedly saying that they are spying for the, and they are the security personnel. So after checking their identification card, they are targeting them. But the assessments of the targeting the software can be seen that these group are trying to create a chaos and trying to deliver a message all across the world that we are also suffering, we are also a stakeholder in the region. So you cannot complete your any project without our consent.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Imtiaz. Yes, you have mentioned very important points. Similarly, it reminds me about the other projects that's going to be started soon under Taliban sovereignty in Afghanistan, like TAPI project, Khalsa 1000, and also there are other projects discussing between Central Asian countries in Afghanistan in Pakistan. I think these kind of activities of these groups, it's a big warning and very significant alert for the sustainability and productivity of these projects. Indeed, these projects are very vital for the entire nations living in this region, from South Asia to Central Asia, but it's a big threat. At the end, Mr. Imtiaz, if you have any recommendation for the international community or any particular state in our region, our audience will be happy to hear that.
My first recommendation is, can be seen that the world must force the Afghan Taliban to compel them, to force them to accept the women's rights in the region and to let them to work. And after the Doha conference, very recent conference by the US authorities and Afghans, it's unfortunately you said that the Afghan movement were not a part of it. That is somehow unfortunate for the women rights and for the democracy as well. So the women rights must be accepted in the all the regions, and similarly the civilian rights must be protected by the all over the civilized world, and similarly provisional autonomies, particularly in the Sistan and Balochistan, and the discrimination against the minorities, particularly in the Pakistan is Shia, and the other ethnicities, similarly in the Iran, is by the theoretical regime against the Sunni Muslim, and similarly discrimination against the different ethnicities by the Afghan authorities in the Afghanistan must be ended, and these authorities must be forced to obey the international law and to let them be part of the system, and they must be encouraged to participate in any policy making and any other government activities.
Thank you so much, Mr. Imtiaz Ahmad Baluch, for joining us today in this podcast. We will be in touch and hope to have you again in our next programs.